We're back.
We're good. We're back again. We are going to be talking about the next module, which is going to be called PowerShell, or all about PowerShell.
All right.
In case you haven't noticed, PowerShell is something that is extremely prevalent in everything that we're talking about. In fact, we're actually even doing command line options using PowerShell. If you actually sat this course at a learning center, you would be doing the command lines through a PowerShell window. So PowerShell is obviously trying to be the accent that we're aiming towards and what we're going to be talking about now. We're going to be trying to take some more questions. We have the questions being answered as fast as we can through the Q&A section. So please be patient as we work through them. We've got a dozen or more people that are going through and answering as many as we can. Ed's also going to keep an eye open for the next little module for this one here to be able to draw up any sort of questions that come up. This one's going to be about PowerShell, about how to manage and how to use Server 2012 and manage it with PowerShell. We've been so far focusing exclusively on the GUI environment for the most part. Now we're going to dive down to the command line and get some stuff done.
Cool.
And we're going to ease into this at first. So let's flip over here to the sides and take a look at where we're going to be starting off with. This is module 3 of this 12-module jumpstart that we're doing. So we're just up before the next chunk of time for a meal break. And this is going to be specifically on PowerShell version 3. PowerShell version 3, in case you don't know, is the version that comes with Server 2012. It's now available as a downloadable option for down-level servers, 2008, 2008 R2, known as the Windows Management Framework 3.0, which you can go off and download. And if you incidentally wanted to manage your Server 2008 or 2008 R2 system inside Server Manager, you would have to download that Windows Management Framework 3.0 and a hotfix for some performance data, and then you'd get similar functionality, with the exception of add-remove program functionality and roles. Similar functionality for automatic event log capturing, performance data capturing, stuff like that with Server Manager. But we're going to be talking about PowerShell, just what it is, how it works, and then specifically diving into some stuff with Active Directory, because there's some big changes there, and then also how to manage individual servers with some PowerShell too. So coolness in all forms as you can make a cool command line work.
Yes.
So what is PowerShell? It is a object-oriented, object-based management environment. It was created by a product team here at Microsoft. It's been available to be extensible by a variety of different methods and people and individuals. You can go off and write your own commandlets to be able to go off and do things. And basically, it gives you the engine that replaces the old .cmd batch files that you used to run in the old time. I used to carry around a floppy diskette with all of my massive automation tools that you had possible with Windows for Workgroups 3.1.1.
And the good old network boot disk, right?
You got it.
The network DOS boot disk. Network boot disk.
To be able to go off and to do different things. It basically replaces that, brings it up to date, gives it a very much more robust management environment that you're used to at the command line. And it's been around for a couple of generations now, well, version 3. And it's something that, honestly, just from a personal experience, I'll tell you this right now, you really don't start to handle using it in a production environment until you literally start jumping in and using it. That's as simple as I can kind of say it.
What you're saying is that if you don't know what it is and you're not comfortable using it, the solution is
start to use it for the simple things.
Can I just kind of interject here?
Sure.
I have to back that all the way. I make no secret of the fact that I'm not a command line guy. I'm a graphics. You know, I hate to admit it, but I've started to like the mouse because I'm an old command line junkie and I used to hate the mouse. And everyone said, no, you got to use the mouse. And now I love the mouse. Mm-hmm. And then now everything's PowerShell. And when I first saw it, it's like, I don't want to do this. You know what? Just start using it. Mm-hmm. Just start using it. And as you saw even earlier in my demo, when I'm typing through some of the commands, some of the longer ones, sometimes it's real easy to, miss a slash or something like that. But
I think we call that a PEBCAC problem.
Yeah.
Problem exists between chair and keyboard.
I think it was. Yeah. Or an ID10T or something like that, right? Yeah. But no, so I really want to vouch for exactly what you're talking about is you just have to start using it. Even just in this past week with you and I working so closely together and you pushing me real hard on this PowerShell stuff is I'm really starting to love it.
Yeah, a very simple example of that one there is going off and taking, for instance, the demo environment is made up of 9 different virtual machines that we're all running on Hyper-V. Being able to go off and to take those machines individually with a GUI interface, click on it, say export, here's the location, off you go, wait for it to finish, do the next one, do the export, here you go. One line of PowerShell.
Mm-hmm.
Get -VM and tells you the VM names, pipe it to the export command with a path destination folder, enter, and it does it all for you.
Yep.
One command line.
Yeah, so you took about an hour's worth of work and did it in 30 seconds.
And I had no idea how to do that months ago, and it came up that I had a problem where I had to do a massive export of machines. I needed to be able to do it fast. I didn't want to sit there and wait for it. I wanted to go off and, you know, watch TV or something. Ran the command, didn't know how to do it, did some research with the dash, you know, get dash help command to be able to get some help on the command formats and that sort of stuff, and then figured out how to do it. So definitely, jump in. It gives you the foundation upon which all GUI environments are based in for administration. So basically, this is a real simple call-out to simply say, you know what, guys? Anything you can do in a GUI, you can do in command line with PowerShell. Anything you can do in PowerShell, for the most part, you can also do on the GUI side of things.
Yes, which is new.
And some of the tools actually will show you the PowerShell commands that are being run. So, for instance, the Active Directory Administrative Center mm-hmm. will show you the history of the PowerShell commands that have been run based on the commands that you're trying to do with the GUI interface. Some of them don't at this point. So, for instance, Server Manager does not show you what the command lines are, but you can know that it's running PowerShell under the hood to be able to do stuff.
Which is, in my opinion, again, another great way to get comfortable with PowerShell is kind of, if you're familiar with the GUI and you know how to do something, is reverse engineer it,
yep.
right? By being able to go ahead and look at the history of commands. Go back, do it through the GUI, and then go back and look at your commands in PowerShell, and then you can write a script from there.
Yep. So a little bit of history about PowerShell with syntax concept. Basically, you've got a verb noun and verb and noun syntax where you're going to be using, and then it's basically a pairing together. So like, you know, set dash execution policy, get dash VM, new dash VM, that sort of stuff, that basically equals your commandlet. And the commandlet parameters are able to modify the actions based on command line switches and parameters that you include. And if you ever have help, if you ever need help, the one you need to remember is get dash help. Mm-hmm. If you're at the command line, there's other ways to do it too, which I'll show you in just a minute. The other one that I really like on this one here is has saved my bacon a couple of times. if you're hesitant to execute a command because it has the possible big impact of what you're going to do is going to be pretty big for what it can affect, is a common parameter which is known as dash what if.
Okay.
Basically, it's your fail safe. That's your safety. So you run a big command that's going to go in and, let's say, disable all the user accounts that have the department listed as intern or something like that, based on a certain date and time range that you want to do. You can do that with PowerShell. You can do a dash what if, and it will go through all the process and logic to figure out what was actually going to happen, and then it will say, okay, that's what I would have done. And then, is that what you want? Great. Now you just simply up arrow, take out the what if command and then, or parameter, and then you're able to go off and actually execute
Say what if. Get the answer you want,
and say that's
and then
what I
say that's what I wanted.
Yeah.
Get rid of what if. Now go do it.
So very, very handy.
Awesome.
Neat thing you also have is also these things called aliases. Basically, you can make aliases or you can use the default aliases. So people that might be coming from a different operating system, like a Linux background or Unix background, might be used to using aliases like VI for an editor and that sort of stuff. You can use that if you wanted to. For instance, an alias like DIR for directory is actually get-child-item. For your current directory structure, as an example, for doing a dir, for way that works. You know, kill is the same as a stop dash process. So it allows you to go in and to shorten scripts, get you some discoverability, and again, if you're familiar with management tools from different, you know, bash shells or stuff like that, you can go off and try using some of those commands to see how they work, and it's also good for some backwards compatibility.
Yeah, so. You know what, Rick, real quick here, just a quick question that popped up that I think is something that might be in a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
We sat here and talked about, you said, you know, if you want to get used to using PowerShell, just jump in and start using it.
Yep.
And I said, and I concur. That's part of what I did. Do you have any examples of just, I've never touched PowerShell. Jump in doing what? What do I jump in and do?
That's that's a good one. My consultant answer for that is it depends, because it depends on what you do. Like, literally, I work with a lot of virtual machines, so for me it was obvious that I'd be jumping in and using the dash VM, you know, get dash VM options for different things you want to do with virtual machines, virtual networks, starting, stopping instances, turning off time synchronization with the installable component, stuff like that. It just made sense because that was the task that I was challenging myself to try to fix. If you're an Active Directory administrator because you manage users and stuff like that, jump into the Active Directory commandlets. Make sure you use the what ifs if you're making massive changes, but use the Active Directory commandlets for what you're trying to do. If you work with storage, if you work with the server infrastructure, go ahead and try using the storage commands, commandlet areas. If you work with network infrastructure, DNS name resolution, you can manage DNS or DHCP with the commands.
So the easy answer is yes.
Easier answer is yes.
Yeah, you know, and I will tell.
Focus on your problem you're trying to solve when you have the time to figure it out, when you're kind of noodling on stuff, and then try it out.
Right. And I was going to say, for me personally, I started it with the AD stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I glommed onto is just getting right in with the Active Directory, creating objects, managing objects. I did a lot of the reverse engineering that I talked about. And then something else that you're going to talk about in just a few minutes with the ISE.
Yeah.
Gives you a great spot.
I don't steal the thunder, but I'm telling you,
that's twice now I've brought it up. So yeah. We're going to get to it in this module.
Yeah, and I'm hoping, again, in the question online area, we have a bunch of different MVPs that are in there actually answering questions as well. I know one of them is Sean Kearney, but I don't know if he's been able to make it as of yet. He's known as the Energized Tech. He potentially could be there answering questions. If not, he will definitely be there soon. We also have Chris Rhodes as an MVP that's going in, and he's based out of the UK, so he's mm-hmm. actually up in weird hours helping us out. He's a good guy for PowerShell resources and other stuff like that, so shout out to him. And there's obviously a whole bunch of Microsoft staffers and other people in the product teams are helping us out as well, so thank you for keeping those questions. Mm-hmm. If you can just keep an eye if there's anything that comes up top, we'll see if we can answer on the spot. So, look at that. My next slide is actually showing you the ISE. So first off, the ISE has been improved upon. It is now a great option to be able to go off and work with. It existed in 2008 R2, but it had basic functionality there. But instead of just the command line way of working with PowerShell, you now have additional ways of working with PowerShell. So I'm going to actually flip over here to a demo and just give you a couple of quick looks here. This is my domain controller that I have up and running, mm-hmm. and I'm logged on locally to it. And traditionally, you would see a PowerShell interface that looks something like this. I've gone ahead and enhanced the screen size so the people online can be able to take a look at it. And the typical utility get command demonstration that a softy would do is simply that, which simply lists off all the possible PowerShell commands. There's a few.
Yeah.
Over 2,400 commandlets exist in 2012 and growing. For new things that happen to come out of it. That's one way to be able to go off and work with it. However, a little bit easier to be able to work with, a little bit easier in the eyes, is this little thing right here I just started, which is called ISE. You can run it one way by simply at the PowerShell command prompt, type in ISE, or like I did, I simply hit my start screen, typed in ISE, and then pulled up Windows PowerShell ISE. Mm-hmm. So two different ways you can now go off and run it.
We're all from Server Manager.
Pardon me?
What about from Server Manager?
Server Manager, you can't do ISE from Server Manager, but you can go off and you can execute it as an administrative tool, but you can't change the focus. You can actually go in Server Manager, right mouse click on a server, and then launch a PowerShell mm-hmm. command focused on that remote server, and you're executing that process of PowerShell on that remote box and executing stuff. But I just want to show you very, very quickly here this interface for the PowerShell ISE. First thing I want to show you, and this is an actual little gem that came up with discussion for presenting a little while ago, is this thing that's over here that's called the Tools Options, and then making it easier to view for you guys online. In case you don't know, there's actually themes. And I don't mean funky, Winamp themes that you would get in the past to be able to do things, to be able to get like the Rockstar one or the funky Ice Crystal one or whatever it is. You go into presentation mode.
Don't like those?
It'll change them all over to a much larger PowerShell viewable way of seeing the PowerShell
command window. Oh, I can see what you're doing now. Okay.
And when I actually go in and view off the script information, I have the script, which is very, very large. Take a look at the stuff as well. So this is called your scripting window. I'm actually going to open up an existing script here to make it so I can show off some of these things a little bit easier. We have a demo code one, which is showing off ISE.
Which, by the way, real quick, Rick, while you're pulling that up,
yep.
You can actually do it from Server Manager from the Tools menu. It's part of your administrative tools.
Oh, yes. From administrative tools, it's not context sensitive. You can't pull
it's
it
not
up, focus
context sensitive.
Else.
No, no. I just want to make sure everyone knows, since we're pushing so heavily to get mm-hmm. to everything from Server Manager,
yeah.
This is also accessible from Server Manager.
Yeah. So the neat thing I like about this is, for instance, I have a script. In this case, it's been created by the mock courseware people that have actually gone in and done a demo of IntelliSense as an example. If I just go down below and show you what this IntelliSense means, if I say, for instance, get, it automatically starts and figures out, I wonder what he's trying to do. Let me give him some suggestions on what he wants to do. If I want to say VM as an example, in this case, I don't have any Hyper-V commandlets installed because Hyper-V role is not installed, so I only have is dealing with network adapter mm-hmm. On that one there. If I wanted to get child object or child item as an example, I can hit tab and pull that up. I can then pull in a directory structure, and it actually will parse my directory structure for Windows. hitting tab to complete it, system32 as an example, and then run it, and it's going to give me results for what it looks like. Now, obviously, I'm going to minimize this screen resolution a bit so you can see the results on the screen as it runs by, just a little bit. It's filling in all the command parameters and suggesting options for commandlets that I want to run based on the characters I'm typing. I also want to call out on the right-hand side the ability to go through and do context-sensitive searches on this guy here. So, for instance, if I want to take a look at anything to do with file servers, I can do or files. I can just type in files and does a quick filter on all the stuff to do with files. If I want to go in and do, for instance, domain controller-related stuff, get AD domain controller. Get AD domain mode, set default domain password policy, remove, install. So basically all these different options. As I choose one, like for instance, get AD domain controller, I can choose show details, and it actually is going to go out and figure out what all the different parameters are that I could fill in for that particular command that I want to go off and execute. So I can go in and choose different types of authentication. I can choose alternate credentials. I can choose what identity I want to use and what servers I want to look at as one quick example. Great way to learn on the fly.
Well, and it sounds like also what you're telling me is, again, and you say a great way to learn, is for those who are trying to get accustomed to back to the command line from the GUI, here is a kind of a almost like an in-between, a GUI way to figure out the correct command.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. And by the way, earlier, remember you were telling me to hit tab when I was in a basic PowerShell window.
Yeah.
That tab functionality will always work.
Yeah.
It's just that you won't automatically see it. And I always personally, when I'm in a regular PowerShell command window, I never know when to hit tab. Like, I never know if I've hit enough letters. Now, if you hit tab prematurely, if you only hit a couple letters and maybe there's four options, it'll at that point bring you the four options.
Whereas, you cycle through it.
Right. Whereas in ISE, you're seeing at all times, Here's all your options. You can click on an option, but of course you're on the keyboard, not the mouse.
Yep.
So once you've hit enough letters, there's only one option, hit tab, you're done typing. Yep. Makes it go a lot faster. I love it.
Example of doing the tabs, as an example here, get-process. And then I do my first option. One dash will show me all the options. There's computer name, hit a tab to be able to do it. And then I type in lon dc1 as an example. And that's going to go off and list off all the active running processes on domain number one.
Yep.
If I wanted to, I can also go through, because I'm using the ISE, in case you don't know, you'll be seeing me doing this a lot in the next demo coming up here. I can also just highlight the individual command or command line syntax I want to run, and then I can say execute only what's selected.
Yep.
Press F8 or simply press that. And that will simply run that one command. And that's the window that you saw over here on the side. You can actually just type in show-command to get a quick view of what this is. The thing I also like about this is as you go in and fill out those different parameters that are available on the right-hand side, you actually can say run, and it will put those into the command line for you. Or you can say copy that and then paste into your script as you're going through and learning some stuff. So autocomplete, it's wicked. IntelliSense, even more wicked because it shows you what's there. And then the ability to parse through all the different command line options and the different parameters that are in there come in quite handy, just as a basic way of starting off with your simplified view of what's going on with the ISE. Good way to get you started. Okay, so I'm going to flip back out of this guy here for just a sec and then pull up my slides to see where I'm at. And then this.
I thought you were here with me.
I'm there. I'm okay. Good. Help with PowerShell, the ability to go through, show-command is one way of getting some help as a graphical way of doing it. You also have the get-help, as I mentioned that one there. So it's the noun verb of get-help and the command you're looking for, and then it gives you more details about it. One thing that you should be aware of is that you can actually go in and download an updated version of the help files the first time you run it. It's going to ask you, hey, do you want to go off and download them, provided you have internet connectivity. It downloads the latest version of those helps information for the PowerShell commandlets when you log on and when you work with server. So a good idea to get those. And the idea is that basically they can be updated faster than having to update a service pack or a hotfix patch on a local server box. Get help is always great for doing things like get help and then the command you're looking for, dash examples is what I use an awful lot of the time because I like to see what other people are doing with those commands, what are options for it, and obviously show help are way to go. If you didn't get prompted for that particular download the very first time and you dismissed it and you want to be able to get the updated help, as you can see at the bottom of the slide here, update dash help will do that for you and you're good to go. Using PowerShell modules, basically as you did, you had to go in and import the module for Server Manager to be able to do Server Manager type functionality because you didn't have Server Manager loaded on that core box. So when you're managing a server core box with PowerShell. So import module blah, Hyper-V dash server manager, whatever it happens to be, is going to bring those modules in. You can also go in and obviously write a profile that's going to auto-load these for you if you wanted to. The way this works is generally if you have the management role functionality, feature functionality installed in the box you're running from, management tools installed from, you're going to have those modules ready to go. And you're good to go. You can also list what modules are there by simply typing in get module for what's available, and you're good to be able to run with different types of modules. Now, remoting is the ability to go through and connect up to the remote box, and you mentioned that from a server manager perspective. So me as a troubleshooting person wants to go off and run something, I can either go in and simply launch the PowerShell command window and run PowerShell locally, and then I can say connect to remote computer and then spawn off a PowerShell process remotely because I'm using WinRM and because I'm using PowerShell remotely. Obviously, it has to, if there's scripts that I'm going to be running, the scripts have to be signed in order for them to not get that warning message about the execution policy for your scripts. But it gives the ability to go off and to connect up to remote computer, run one or more commands on that computer, run a whole script on that computer if you wanted to, and also they'll bring the results back to your local machine to be able to do stuff. Now, the neat thing about this is that with remoting, you obviously can do batch administration. So the biggest question I always get from people is, hey, if I'm going to be managing my servers, I'm just going to be using the GUI information and using the GUI tools because you got multi-server management. That works. But when you have to go through and, for instance, monitor or modify the attributes of all the IT people across all your OU structure, it's easier to do that through a PowerShell command than it is to drill down and find stuff, hunt and peck, with your existing Active Directory Users Computers tool. Very, very cool way to do that. Remoting also allows you to go through and to do a one-to-one remoting. You can also do a one-to-many, where basically you go in and you say, show me the last logons for the 10, 15 logons that happened on these 5 domain controllers. And it will go through and be able to show me that and get the information from 6 or 7 different domain controllers that I list in a form of a CSV file, let's say, and then bring me back those results locally to the local box. And you can also go a fan in, where basically you have a bunch of PowerShell commands that are running remotely on guys, and they go into one central box as a result. So lots of different powerful capabilities with remoting on PowerShell. There's about 260 core commandlets that exist, basically overall about 2,400 plus commands that exist as new as part of Server 2012. Basically, you can manage every single possible role and feature and functionality of Server 2012 from PowerShell. You have the ability to go through, and I'll be showing you some cool stuff with this thing called Web Access, where you can actually go through, think of it like an Outlook Web Access that you'd use for accessing your email. You can now do that with PowerShell to be able to manage your systems remotely if you needed to. I've already shown you some stuff with ISE, AutoSense and AutoCompletes, as well as IntelliSense, and then some cool stuff with being able to have disconnected sessions and reconnect up into them. In the queue you want to bring up just yet?
No, I'm just, there's that much, PowerShell is so amazing, I can't even get a word in. You go, just go, 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 go. Well, there were just two real basic questions.
Yeah. I'm hoping I can answer them.
Yeah.
I don't profess to be a PowerShell expert. I'm
right.
Like you guys, I'm learning this. I'm doing this by the stuff that I need to manage on a regular basis and becoming more and more proficient with it. I'm by nowhere near a Jeffrey Snover level 17 secret ninja capabilities that he has.
Okay, well, these real basic ones were just asking about PowerShell 3.0 on Windows Server 2008.
Yep. So yes, you can load PowerShell 3.0 on 2.8, sorry, on 2008 R2, provided you download what's known as the Windows Management Framework version 3.0, which was available when Server 2012 was released. That will allow you to be able to go off and run it, and you can work with it remotely, provided you open up the appropriate ports, and you're all good to go.
Right. And the other one was just you were talking. You referenced the help files a lot.
Yeah.
They want to know if they're there by default.
There's a limited version that's available there by default, which gives you tombstone information, if you will, what I call tombstone information. If you do the update-help commandlet, we'll go off and download from the internet connection the ability to have a much more robust and up-to-date version of the help files as they get updated with new commandlets, new powers, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of really great questions coming in, and keep them coming in. We're trying to get them answered on here. I wanted to get to those two generic ones because they were something that I think everybody is going to want to know.
PowerShell module for Active Directory and for working with Active Directory. This is something that in the past we relied on our phenomenal PowerShell community to be able to go off and to create, because obviously Active Directory is one of those things that could really light up when it's using PowerShell for being able to manage it. from an automation perspective. And so in the past, you used to have to go off and actually download from alternate sites the ability to go off and manage your Active Directory environment. Now it's built in and baked in. So there's 130 commands that's just for managing Active Directory objects, like managing computer accounts, user accounts, service accounts, groups, organizational units, replication, trusts. You can actually manage replication between the main controllers and stuff. So lots of really cool stuff inside the module for Active Directory. And you know what? I'm actually going to go ahead and show you some of this here. So let me flip out of here into my demo again quickly. And I'm going to cheat because I don't want to do any typos like someone else did.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to open up a...
I'll remember that.
You got it, man. I'm going to go in here and say managing users and groups in this environment. So in this case, I'm going to be saying, you know what? Let's go in and import module Active Directory, and we're going to go off and make a new organizational unit called New York City, or sorry, New York. And I've got an OU structure. I'm just going to double check to make sure my OU structure is clean, that I did my proper reset here. So I'm just going to right mouse click on this guy here. Here's a great way I can actually show you. I can quickly initiate PowerShell, automatically connect it to remote box if I wanted to, but I'm on the local box here. I'm just going to go into a duck. And then double check, Active Directory user computers, sorry, as it's affectionately known as. And you can see here that basically there is no New York environment. So that is good. I will leave that as a background process. We can take a look at that if we need to. So I'm going to highlight these guys here and then simply say, as I could type it, or I can simply say run this portion, import module Active Directory, and then add an organizational unit called New York. Going back over here to my duck, I can hit refresh, and then magically there is the New York environment created for me. If I wanted to...
That fast?
That's all it is, man.
I mean, I'd look down for a second. You're done?
I'm done. So stay with me, buddy.
All right,
stay
with
me.
You.
Next one. Add username called Ayla. It's a Department of IT, City of New York, Organization of Adatum. Go ahead and create it. And that's new user created. No forms to fill out. Nothing else done. This should probably tell you that you should be able to automate this by being able to pipe stuff. Go in here and saying, you know what? Let's go in and find... let's go in here and make sure it's all highlighted. Come on, get it. There we go. Find the individual that's named Ayla. Move the object into a new location because it's creating the default location so far. So it's a execute that. Moves into the new location of New York. Go inside there. There she is. And then I can go in and simply say do a group for showing me who is a member of the domain admins. Execute that guy there. Currently, I can see that my domain admins only has a group that's called domain admins. There's my security principle and my reference to where it is. Very simple. And I've got one user account that's in there, which is simply my my administrator account. And this time, let's go in and say add a user, add an individual into it. So go in and say, go ahead and execute it. And it's going to add in and view my current user account, which is the administrator account, into domain admins. Very simple. Neat thing you can do is you can add a user into a group. Now, in this case, we don't have to go in and do a piping because it calls for the command line sequence to be able to include this as an individual, so it knows who Ayla is. Execute that guy there. She's now a member of that group, and it's all good. And then another cool one here, but it's going to warn you here. There is a fine-grained password policy filter that's on here, so this one here might not allow me to enable this user account because password's not set. So okay. Let's actually go ahead and see if it's going to allow me to run this guy. It's going to come back with a lovely error message. So that is the error message you don't want to get when you're doing a demo, basically saying that, hey,
that's what happened when I run the demo.
You got it. So
okay.
This password does not meet the length, complexity, and history requirements for your domain. So I'm just going to go in here and very quickly say, let's remove that fine-grained password policy for the purposes of this demo. And let's say execute that. And then let's go ahead and try to initialize this one again and see if it's going to be allowing me to do it. And it's going to take some time because that password policy is in place. Lovely. So I can't enable her. But I can go ahead and, you know, verify the status of the account, see if it's enabled or not, re-enable it, execute it. It says she's still available. She's there. She's not enabled, though. And I can go in and say, well, you know what? I can disable her. Go off and disable it. That's good. So
problem solved.
So problem solved. If I had gone in and actually identified a password as I created that account and enabled it with a much more complex password, then it would have gone off and been just fine. Cool stuff. Managing Active Directory, made some groups, made some users, did some stuff. And in this case, it's got a password policy setting.
2 hours worth of work you just did in a five-minute demo?
That's all it is. You know, here's 2 hours worth of work. Try this one out. I'm going to go ahead here and try to go in and say, let's go ahead and revert. Let's actually set up a password for her. And I'm going to go in and say, set account password for her. And it's going to come up and still doesn't meet the password complexity. I thought I had the password complexity thing fixed. But here's the part that comes
in. Oh, we're not the only one that gets the demo. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. How about even going in here? We're going to go in and make a new bunch of user accounts. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation before, having to make a whole bunch of user accounts on the fly, being able to have them work. I'm willing to bet that this password file, let's open this guy up. This guy's going to simply show us what it means to add a new user account, and then it's going to open up a notepad for the new user account CSV file. So it warns me here about the help commands. I'm going to say, no, don't worry about updating them right now. Thank you very much. You want to create a new file? No, I don't want to create that new file. Why is it not referenced correctly?
You want to create the...
I don't want to create a new file. I want to go in and use the proper full path of what that is.
You don't want to create the new user CSV?
No, I want to go in and simply put in that, which will work for me. There we go. And let's go fix it up here. Bring that guy out. Let's try that again. This is simply going to go in and show us what the new user account actually means.
There you go.
And show us a notepad. So picture this. We've got name, given name, surname, display name, SAM account name, company, city, department, employee number. Those probably look like attributes to you.
Just a little bit, yeah.
They are actually Active Directory attributes.
They sure are.
The new user can reference those attributes, or you can leave them blank if you're able to leave some of them blank. You have to have some minimum attributes that are included, like the SAM name and things like that. This one has a bunch of extra stuff that's in there. And you are able to go in and simply go in and do an import of that particular information.
Did it actually have the attribute for enabled versus disabled? Because it's going to be disabled by default. I didn't look at your list.
If you cite a password, you have to put the password in.
Okay.
This basically went ahead and does an import CSV to be able to show you and load that information about that individual and the users. And then actually going ahead and creating multiple user accounts with a CSV file. We didn't use the password parameter that's in there. And so I'm wondering if we're going to see our lovely error message come up again from our fine-grained password policy. So I'm just going to tote that out and then go ahead and highlight all these guys here, execute that chunk. And every single one of them did not work because of the password policy that's in there. But I could have created 20 different user accounts that are in there.
All in one shot.
You got it. And basically, that's some examples of being able to go off and to use PowerShell to be able to manage your Active Directory environment and be able to do mass changes and also get mass error messages about having a password policy not set up correctly. You know, timing. I got time constraints.
Rick, I'm going to tell you what. Man. Error messages or no error messages. Because you know what? We can work through those. And I've learned with scripting over the years, you get past those, you get it to work once, you're golden from there.
You got it.
And I'll tell you what, sitting here watching you for half an hour, I'm already one more notch on the PowerShell side and away from the GUI side.
Probably a very small notch, but at least it's a step in the right direction. Let me show you another little piece of really coolness that exists with PowerShell with Server 2012. I'm just going to double check my slides to see if it actually has any slide reference information to it. Yes, let's take a look at some of these guys here just to catch up. Obviously, you can go off and use variables. So basically, you can, because it is an object-based language and scripting language, you're able to go off and set variables and be able to call on those variables. That does work. You're able to go off into pipe information. So you saw me piping stuff there where I get the results of one command, I pipe it into a different command. That one there obviously works for being able to do some filters as an example. So basically filter on all users and then be able to go off and to enable those different accounts.
It's a good looking pipe you had there.
It's a nice set of pipe. I can also go through and change some different formats, so I can go off and list off what the different display output's going to be. Is it going to be simply raw text where it shows that information? Do I want to format it as a table? Do I want to format it as a list or whatever I want it to do? I can also go through and do some different type of manipulation of that data as it's coming through. Very, very cool stuff. And then, as you saw, I had some scripts that were running individually, running individual commands in those scripts. Those scripts have to be signed, or you have to change your execution policy. to be able to ensure that those scripts are from a secure location. The scripts that I was using were signed, so I didn't have to worry about the execution policy. But you can go in and simply set execution policy to say unrestricted or remote signed only, but local ones don't have to be signed, that sort of stuff. So you can go off and basically choose your level of security you want to run with. The default is you have to have them signed if they're going to be running them remotely. You can actually do loops, for instance, for each user in a particular group, so two different variables. Go ahead and say, display to the screen, this Joe Smith is in server administrators group, as an example. You can go off and do that. If day of the week is blah, do something else. So you got some good loops you can go in there. And the demo I did quickly for you there was the Active Directory.
You don't want to go back and do it again?
I don't want to do it again.
No?
Okay. I got to move on. I don't have much time left here. Now, the Active Directory Administrative Center is an option for being able to go off and to manage it. We don't spend a lot of time in this particular layout of courses that we have to go into the Active Directory Administrative Center. If you haven't had a chance to as of yet, you are going to want to go off and launch this guy. Get comfortable with what you can and what you cannot do with it. The main difference from the previous versions is obviously this works on 2012 and also will be able to manage your 2008 and 2002 systems as well. But you do also have to be aware of the fact that we now have a GUI front end for managing your fine-grained password policies as well as going off and managing your Active Directory recycle bin once it has been enabled. In the past, 2008 R2,
Wait, real quick.
Yay! So in the past, you only had the ability to go through and do that at the command line. Now you can do it with the GUI interface of the Active Directory Administrative Center. So it's a nice little tool. It's not just for the entry-level administrators. You can actually go off and do some more detailed stuff that's in it. And the neat thing about it as well is that it is able to display you a PowerShell history of the commands that you've run within the GUI interface, what those commands are inside the other one that are at the PowerShell level to help you with that learning process. So yeah. Take some time, check it out, and then try it outside your environment.
Hey, real quick. A question that's coming up a lot, and I actually don't know the answer. I'm not sure if you know the answer.
It's like, what, is how Rick turns off fine-grained password policy?
No. No, I was waiting for that one. I haven't seen it yet. No, you know what? I don't know. The scripts that you're using in these demos, Are those proprietary from the mock?
Interesting, because you're the mock expert. I should be asking you that question,
well,
my friend.
Is that where you pulled them from?
These are actually pulled from the mock courseware.
So they are proprietary,
yes.
Then. So the answer, unfortunately, I'd love to give a different answer, but the answer that's being asked again and again and again, if you can share all those scripts.
Can I get these scripts?
I will look into it and see if I can turn my no into a yes, but at the moment I have to say no.
Yeah. If you are able to watch this on replay, you obviously can go back, freeze frame,
and
see
and
what the command lines
really
were
fast.
If you wanted to, because those scripts are not all that detailed for what I was actually going ahead and doing. What I will say, though, is there is a really good area on TechNet that has a script repository, Which on the script repository has a bunch of user-contributed scripts about PowerShell that go off and manage different aspects of PowerShell. Different aficionados of PowerShell have gone off. I think it's part of the indoctrination of progressing up the ninja level ranks of PowerShell. The more scripts that you contribute to that particular center, you get more creds and street creds to be able to do stuff. I haven't contributed anything there yet, so I'm an entry level Padawan for PowerShell. Definitely, Scripting Center is a great place to go to be able to get more resources about PowerShell and about some other stuff. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of stuff at PowerShell, PowerShell.com, and also PowerShell.ca and other websites online. It's all there. People are asking you how to
add a request came in, so
okay.
There you go.
We're good. So this is a fun one here, because again, you've been good, because you know
I
met you last week for the first time face to face. We wouldn't know each other online before this, and you were asking me, you know, you and I were having one of those debates and conversations around PowerShell. I'm a newly indoctrinated person that's been trying to use PowerShell more and more and more as I get through my daily chores of what I'm trying to do. You're more of a GUI guy, as you professed at the very beginning of this. So what do you think? I've just shown you a glimmer of what's possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, and again, you know, as I've said before, I'm a GUI guy, I've been turned into a GUI guy, and so it's taking a little bit to get me back, but, you know, and I guess this would have been the appropriate place, is if we're going to say that, you know, you were big on the PowerShell, and I was kind of on the, you know, I'm just kind of struggling, and I don't get it, well, yeah, all right, I'm with Rick now.
Even better.
So, you know.
So it's try approaching it small, digestible chunks.
Yes.
Like, if I had more time, this fine-grained password policy thing is starting to tick me off. I would actually sit here and try to figure out with PowerShell how to turn that fine-grained password policy off and why it's preventing me from enabling. Because basically, the default policy for Windows Server passwords is you have to have a complex password. It has to also be 7 characters long, and it has a history parameter. The problem that we're running into is I'm trying to create a user account that has no password, which is in contradiction to the password policy. I can either just go through my regular tools and GUI and manage the default domain policy, edit the default policy, the password policy to say allow blank passwords, and do a gpupdate/force on my domain controller would allow me to actually run those PowerShell scripts.
Absolutely.
Or I could do the same thing with PowerShell to be able to do that remotely on that domain controller, but I just don't have time to figure it out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the one statement you made, use small chunks. You know, grab this stuff in small chunks.
Mm-hmm.
That was my problem. You know,
it's
I was
very
trying
easy
to get
overwhelmed.
PowerShell. I was attending sessions on PowerShell, and I wanted to just get it all in one shot. And it's piece by piece, and little by little, you know, when I see you again in a few months, I'll probably be going gangbusters on PowerShell, and you won't recognize me anymore.
Okay, so I'm
going
to you're back in later in the fall or something like that? Or no, you're going to be back in the
I'll be back in town in February.
Maybe if we're still around, we'll check that out, man.
All right.
Now, last little bit of PowerShell I want to share with you is this new thing called PowerShell Web Access. I alluded to it earlier, this cool thing that's called Outlook Web Access, but is actually for PowerShell. It is something that you can use. This will basically allow you to run the PowerShell through a web interface like you would through a Outlook Web Access to get access to your mail, but it adheres to all the security context that you define, because you have to basically turn on the access rules for this to basically say install the PowerShell Web Access, secure it with an SSL certificate through the web browser, and then you have to go in and do what's known as an authorization rule. The authorization rules on the PowerShell Web Access Gateway allows you to identify what machines you're allowed to attach up to. Also, what configuration of scripts you're allowed to run on the system. And then you have to be authorized as an individual user to be able to use it as well. So I'm actually going to go ahead here and I'm going to switch over to my demo and show you how this works for being able to set this guy up. So in this case, I first of all have to go into my server manager to add remove components or features. So I go in here and say add remove to my server. Do I have the right server selected? Yes, I do. Okay, role-based feature. I'm going to say it's the domain controller. It's not a role, it's actually a feature. And I want to go into PowerShell. Where is it? Remote server min tools. It's role administration tools. And then we have, feature tools? No. I'm completely blanking. Where
are you
going to add this one here, man? I got to go into PowerShell Web Access to install features. And it's in there. Come on, man. Where is it? User interface. Ah, okay. No, it's not down there. It's down in this guy right here under Windows PowerShell.
Yeah.
So it's installed by default. But what I want to install is this guy right here, Windows PowerShell Web Access. It's going to say, hey, to be able to run this, you have to have .NET 4.5. And you also have to have IIS up and running with ASP.NET support, which is fine. I'm going to say, go ahead and add those guys in.
Yeah, which, by the way, you know how I said that we can't show everything in the way back beginning?
Yeah.
And we'll see things little by little? Another really cool feature. Yes, we saw it in Windows Server 2008 R2, but the fact that if you need supporting roles and features, it tells you, does it for you.
Good. Now, once I've gone ahead and installed this, again, I can go ahead and hit the close button and wait for this to finish. And I can go up here and take a look at the progress bar as it's finishing its install of the resources that's on there. So that's a good thing to know about. I'm going to go ahead and with PowerShell Web Access, I now need to go in with the actual PowerShell command itself. And I need to run a couple of commands. I've got to wait, obviously, until that thing is done installing. So let's go in and check. Yes, it's all succeeded. It's all succeeded, so it's all good. Okay, so from my PowerShell window, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to type in install PSW web application, and I'm going to say use test certificate. This is going to basically use a self-signed certificate, which is not recommended for production. You should actually protect your web server with a full-fledged real certificate. Next up, we got to go in and say add. Oh, it's got to finish creating the certificate first. Got to wait. Comment, question, joke, yeah. What?
No, just that we have a concern that your blood sugar is getting low.
We're getting close to break time for some extra food, so yes, it is getting low. I'm only drinking water. You've got the Red Bull over there. Oh, sorry, Mountain Dew, I should say.
I did. I just have water now.
Mm. Okay, we're back. Add PSW authorization rule, because it will not work until you set up an authorization rule. This rule, I'm going to go in and say username for who's allowed to use it. I'm going to say ADATUM/administrator. You're checking my typing, right, on the screen up there? What computers can he talk to?
You want me checking your typing? Yeah, me typing earlier.
Got to work with that. I'm going to let this guy work from any computer name, and I'm going to say what configuration of PowerShell scripts can they use? Any of them. There we go. Rule number one has been added, or rule zero has been added. So now my PowerShell web access should be up and running. I'm going to cheat and just simply run the local browser, pointing to lon-dc1/PowerShell web access. Notice I'm going in with HTTP access. It's going to say, ooh, hang on a second here. You should not be using HTTP access. Use SSL instead. So I'm going to go and do the right thing and change this guy up to say PowerShell through HTTPS. And it's going to come up and give me the ability to sign in. And obviously, I only authorize one person, the administrator account, to be able to use this. Could obviously be a group, right?
Yep. Groups. Nah, individual users, one by one.
Make a whole whack of rules just for that. Now, again, this is protected through SSL. It also is a self-signed certificate, so it's throwing me this error. I'm going to say go ahead and continue anyways. It also is restricted by individual users who can log into this. It's also restricted to what commands you can run. It's also restricted to what computers you can action those commands on. So I've got three or four different layers of security already before we even do anything and go from there. Come on. Let's go, web browser. Kicking in here. There we go. Username, ADATUM/administrator. Strator. This funky password you guys use in mock, I'm trying to remember. And I want to connect up to lon-dc1. And I have optional settings if I wanted to, which will go through and actually allow me to choose alternate credentials, choose different types of authentication, and also what ports I'm using. It uses, in case you're wondering, it uses remote ports of 5985 and 5986 for remote management. So I'm going to say go ahead, hit sign in, bring me up, and this looks suspiciously like a PowerShell window. And you would be correct that the PowerShell window is up and working. I can now simply come down here and start typing get-command. Autocomplete or tab complete works with the little button over here I can press to be able to list them off. I have a history I can go backwards to, and I can display them. Basically, anything I wanted to do to be able to work with PowerShell, I can now do through this. Now, this is for any standards-based browser that supports JavaScript. We'll be able to run this particular window. So this could actually be run from your iDevice or your Android device or your new Windows Surface when it comes out or anything you wanted to. Doesn't matter what browser you want to use.
Even IE.
IE, obviously, what I'm using. It's all there, right?
You see here, I put on the rally cap now
so
you would not mess up any of those scripts. So.
Thank you, because that was getting tight. Here we go for the last little bit for some roundup stuff. As I mentioned, PowerShell Web Access Gateway, it has to sit on your perimeter or simply your forward the request in there. You're going to want to use SSL. You're going to want to go off and get your own certificate. You can use a self-signed certificate, but you're going to get the error message. You can then choose individual targets, up to as many as you want. You can actually hit when you access this, and you can now use this with any standards-based browser. We've enabled the functionality for background jobs to run. As you saw, some of those install processes are background jobs. Basically, it's stateful, so I can go in and execute a command, open up a session, leave the state in that particular session window for PowerShell, and leave it off and running. I can then go off and schedule jobs to occur in background tasks and be able to come back again. They're all possible that's there. And there's one last part that we don't have time to show you, but you definitely want to take a look at, is basically if you're much more advanced with your programming capabilities, you can actually do, besides just loops, you can actually now do complete workflow with your PowerShell commands, because you can also initiate this remote mass effect on multiple machines. You can then go in and set up scripts and parameters that are going to go off and do remote work and then come back again. You now have the workflow capability. If it comes back with an error message, go off and do the following. In the past, you could do that with a whole whack of code, but now it's simply a matter of simple workflow stuff. So processes can be resumed, paused, and restarted. Lots and lots of really good stuff. There's 60 different workflows that are built in.
It's a serious load of stuff.
It is a serious bunch of stuff with PowerShell. Go off, try it, start small, work in progress, and then come back and then get more and more advanced with it.
It's a good thing we did this going into the meal break.
I think so.
Because I think that's what everyone's going to do during the meal break.
Is to get
they're going
to
do an hour of PowerShell.
Even better.
That is the expectation.
Even better. So with that, I want to say thank you very much for hanging out with us. We're going to be back with after a longer break to be able to continue on with the next module, which I believe is storage, if I remember correctly. Is it storage? Yeah, no, it's actually networking first.
Then networking, storage. Then storage.
You got it. We'll be back.